We invited the presentation to try and overcome some of the confusion, and to a certain extent, I think Martin's presentation was particularly good at, in terms of giving us a more thorough understanding of the how the regulations are evolved, and hopefully that brings some clarity. There is a great deal of confusion. It's quite clear that the regulations do need an update, and there will be a fierce legal debate over actually what they mean. But if there are any questions, as best we can, we'll try to help you to answer them today. But questions?
Yeah. Perhaps some clarity. Can you confirm the definition of class zero? I suppose, please. Because there's been mixed messages, I think, from whether it's a material of limited combustibility or a surface spread of the definition is varied, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're taking two sources there. So certainly Jenny's is from the building regulations, where there is a definition there, and Martin's is probably the better one of where it's evolved from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus also, yeah, surface spread of flames. It came about 1988. It isn't a in legal terms, it isn't classed obviously as non-combustible. It is surface spread of flame. So if you're looking at it on the A1, on the Euroclass chart, that's going to fall in C as a class O. So if we look at something like Grenfell, the product that was on Grenfell was a class C Euroclass rated product. So surface. We usually you see so many specs as a class O. Oh, sorry, so many products defined as a class O building products. But that really is sort of, I'm talking here about phenolic foam, which has got a class O foil face over the top of it. Once you get through that, then you're obviously through to the oil derivative, the oil-based actual product itself, which of course is going to be combustible.
Talking about the cladding panel itself, I think referring back to the Renabond material, that carries a class O certificate, which means that in their interpretation, is class O against the surface spread of flame, but even with the PE core, that's still class O, and the PE core is a combustible material.
Yeah, yes, it is. Yeah,
and is your interpretation that is combined with the regs?
No.
Just contribute to that. With the building regs, you've got the two parts. The diagram 40 refers just to the external surface of the building, first the external surfaces. And you've got clause 12.7, which relates to insulation and filler products that sit within the builder. And they're measured to two levels. In so much as the insulation products are measured to the last 18 metres, the last inhabited floor level or ground, that 18 metres, is defines whether you need the non-combustible insulation, but then the external surface is measured for the full height of that. Now, the diagram 40 says the external surface needs to just meet the surface spread of flame, and the majority of the people in the room would then say, in a rain screen system, the external skin, the external material, is defined as the external surface. Now, following Grenfell, the Department of Local Governments sent clarification notes out to building control authorities saying, for the avoidance of doubt, that the PE core within the Renabond material is classified as an insulation product or a filler, and therefore is regulated by clause 12.7, not 12.6. So it doesn't fall under diagram, now doesn't fall under diagram 40, surface spread of flame, it falls under the insulation. Once you go above 18 metres, that's got to be A1 or A2 or 5 testing. So they've sent that guidance note which splits that product, which is a composite material which is tested for surface spread of flame as that composite material, into it's got surface and it's got an insulation core. So it's muddied the waters between those two clauses. Now, for instance, your rock panel, even though it's essentially one homogeneous material, by their definition, the surface is tested differently to the thickness of the material and defined differently. So we find ourselves in an enormous confusion that you look at the diagram for working the external surface, you've got to be rated class BS S3D2, and you're right, the FR rated Renovond would have got that classification. It's on their performance data, so when you look at that, that's compliant. But now they're saying that that test, even though it's tested as a whole, it's not a whole.
I think it's quite clear the way the regulations have evolved, have added a layer of complexity that they never envisaged would be there. And obviously different aspects of testing have grown. I think prior to Grenfell we'd be excused for making some of these mistakes. Is now you're just not going to be allowed to make the same mistakes. And I don't think it's the same as Lanarkshire. Is that the public opinion is going to drive this to a higher standard than we've seen? It's about the way we respond to this, and this is a particularly politically sensitive issue that will change the shape of the regulations. But I think the point is really useful.
Yeah, I think what I put earlier was that ultimately, people probably lost faith in compliance with billing. Billing rates have lost the public's trust. And ultimately, the people that are going to drive changes at the moment before they review the billing rates is going to be the insurance companies and the stakeholders. Yeah. It's what they want, not what's compliant.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think at one stage, actually, the regulations were very easy to read. And we're driven for the type of industry we've got, which is a highly fragmented industry, so that anybody can pick it off the shelf and relatively build a safe property. And we've not got that now. We've got too much specialisation within that general guidance. And that it's just driven by the new materials that we've got on the market. I do think the reason, and I did approach different companies to get responses. And I think the reason that we've got certainly Rockpanel, and there probably are and Rockwell, there are some other companies who have got materials that by look as well as by test, and they've actually met a higher standard by the nature of the material, and obviously others who have probably rightly driven the market that they thought they were allowed access to are in very difficult situation at the moment. Sorry, any questions?
Yeah. We heard at the Grenfell Inquiry or publicity that there was some saving of some £300,000 or something for the cladding that was used from what was originally specified. There was a reduction in spec. Where was that saved? Was that on the actual panel, it comes to the panel, or the type of insulation? There seems to be some criticism. Would the revised spec that was used, not we've heard, comply with the building rates that were current at the time?
It was a different core that was originally specified on a Renovond. I don't know whether that core would be referred to A2. I don't know on the Renovond product, but last week they announced the test data from the BRE. They split it into three, didn't they, on the different ACMs and the different cores. A2. I don't know where that plays, but the one it got downgraded from, I don't know what that was.
I mean, we hear quite a bit about sending tests to government laboratories or wherever it's going.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I can gather, it's not a test of the composite system as a whole, but just a torch of the insulation, so that it's failed. But is that...
Well, sorry, can I answer? I'm Manchester sort of task cell, because we're going with the first test we did, we split the panel and just tested the core.
Yeah.
So they burnt something that knew was going to burn, and then said it failed, and then he got a lot of criticism. And they have built 9 metre of test rig walls for each different system, so either with a mineral wall, the panels, and they built them the different ones. But we've got Luke on searching about what, and it was the Cat 3 first time fail with no fire retardant, and that failed. Composite test. I've seen the video footage, and that one of my questions is how it was ever given a BBA certificate as a product, because it failed within about 8 minutes. The ACM panel with fire retardant core and the mineral insulation actually passed the test. So the two phases of test.
Yeah. And there was an O2, I think, on top of that.
Yeah,
well.
That was the final.
It was the only pass that it had, and then it all rolled behind.
I think the initial test, they were actually... sorry.
I just say, going back to the police department and local government's clarifications, by their definition, now the higher charge of theory is non-compliant. Just by the material difference, just know itself, not by the actual full-scale test, because they're saying that that core is an insulation or failure, and therefore of 80 metres it needs to be non-combustible or limited combustibility, which is A1 or A2. And the FR core doesn't achieve that.
We're getting mixed messages from the fire service locally and building control locally, is that if we get an independent body who says that they're prepared to sign it off as a safe system, then they will stand by it, but they won't give you any guidance themselves.
Just interesting, what Luke one said?
Not, they're not going to use anything yet.
So because they've got an A2.
They stopped manufacturing the polyethylene core, I believe, in about 2013-14. So they've got, I think it's a Loop 1 Plus, which has the fire retardant core, and then they've got their A2 product, which has a mineral core.
Yeah. So they offered that to you?
Not that conversation yet. The big problem we've been having with DCLG is that they won't actually tell you anything that you can put back. Because they're waiting for, so it's catch 22.
Yeah.
They want to know when we're going to replace the cladding, and we're saying, well, we're replacing the utilities that we can put back.
Rock panel work.
David actually said that. If we get the BR135 test that says this will work, and building control, but building control, even if you've got all your information there, they will at the moment not come back and say, we will sign this off unless you've got somebody independent who has justified it from your own position.
Are they asking for that in the form of the test BS8414 or just a statement?
Even though, going back to your point, that they're now saying part of the power failed even though the test passed.
Yeah.
What they're saying is they, building control, want those used to go to them with a BBA certificate, because this is my frustration. BBA certificate, everyone's won the hat on that. And Greg must be a good product, he's got a BBA certificate, but like on second hand car and MOT certificate, it's fine, fit for purpose, we'll use it. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, where's the challenge back to government that their approving body has approved these products that are effectively not fit for purpose? They're saying that they want us to have independent. Specialist fire experts and a composite system up.
I think what we found is, as rock panel, we found that a lot of people have lost confidence in a composite material, mm-hmm. and they're more comfortable with something that's homogenous. We've definitely found that at the moment. But you're right, everyone's in the waiting stage. Mm-hmm. A bit more guidance. Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this from the glazing industry. And I find certain building regs terminology is very wishy-washy. Mm. Limited combustibility, what does that mean really? Mm. Non-combustible. I mean, I'm looking at these fire doors at the end of this corridor here. We're specifically told 30 minutes fire rated, 30 minutes insulation, smoke seals. We know what we're dealing with. We're not, because, you know, it's clearly, it's a timber door, it is combustible. It will burn, but it will do whatever you ask to do with it, which is 30 minutes, or 60 minutes, or 90 minutes.
I think unfortunately, the terminology has been put on top of the tests to allow ease of communication. But the trouble is, we've got the terminology applying to more than one test, where we've got quite different requirements, right, really, really sort of polar differences in terms of the tests and the properties of the materials that we're testing. The market driven, and you can see why we're in the position that we are. I mean, it's going to be a fierce legal argument, but I think you have got to come back to, you're not going to put anything on the face of your building that is going to act as a fuel, first and foremost. I think anybody who goes beyond that now is a brave person. And then going back to it, you are going to go back to the testing regime.
Just on that point, sometimes, even though it's small details, there's sometimes no option, or there's elements that don't fall within the determine the rain screen cladding system, but are part of the external wall. You made the statement that you don't need to do desktop studies or provide a desktop study service because your product is not possible. So your product is a component within a larger picture. Now, you've got a lightweight steel frame that has got a 7-inch board and a breather paper on the front of it, and then you put the insulation on, whatever. Now, there's no such thing as a non-combustible breather paper, even though it's only thin. That's a combustible material. A lot of SEMBOARD is not classified as non-combustible, which is used throughout the industry on high-rise. Now, in the absence of a full-scale test with Rockwell on it, there's no base data for anybody to do a desktop study to assess the overall entire 3D build-up. I still think it's hard, even though you say the insulation is non-combustible, the overall through wall is potentially even harder to perform because you've got no base test data to do an assessment on the variations within that. You know, and I know we're getting down to something that's half a mil thick, but this passage, this statement that use non-combustible throughout, you know, it's virtually impossible to achieve. And I think we're in a position where we've got to still be able to have an expert, an independent expert, make an assessment on the potential risk of an entire through wall build-up. And at the moment, the testing houses or the accredited people need a base test on which to do that assessment. And it won't exist with Rockwell because it's never been asked for before.
That's true. Yeah, how many tests have Rockwell been involved with, actual 8414 tests? Have you done any? Or?
Yeah, we have, yes. I don't know the exact number, but we have undertaken.
So there are some in existence.
There is. Which we have funded.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's what
Rockwell
are. Are they going to be funded, or are they through manufacturers? Or
the information, the data's there. If you request it, yes, we will provide it, but it's not on our website.
Yeah, but it gives us benchmark to at least to look at, doesn't it?
Indeed,
we
so,
might
yeah.
say, well, we can use an FR-ACM with a Rockwell board and maybe a SEMBOARD behind. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's that one we need to be at.
You get the situation where a lot of the fire retardant external sheathing boards don't have the same density as a standard SEMBOARD. And again, you're going back to acoustics, through all the acoustics, that mass is important. Mm-hmm. So you can't achieve the acoustic requirements to and achieve the fire non-combustibility. So we've got to have that flexibility. So that information, I think, is important for people here that they can still have their fire engineer assess an overall build-up. And the other thing, I assume you've got a lot of specifiers in the room, is the thermal performance compatible, and that's what's been driving the use of phenolic foam more than anything else, because thickness for thickness, there's no real cost differential. It's all about thermal performance and the overall wall build-up. To achieve the same U values, you'll admit you need almost double the thickness of insulation within the cavity.
Yes.
So at some point, something's got to give, because there's been a drive for thermal performance, and that's what's driven the overpadding of the towers, because the thermal performance more than anything else. And there's got to be a compromise. There's a minimum requirement, but the client requirements often exceed it or half that allowance, and it puts you in a position where you need 400mm padding system to achieve the U-values required. Especially
if
you're like going to
a
solid concrete, you can't insulate the substrate.
I think it's a really, really interesting observation in terms of you've got two performance requirements and you're asking for a building. But actually, what we know is that this one, our research is headed up for thermal performance studies and it has a reputation for it. And we constantly go out and see people still breaching thermal performance. The difference I've got now is when I see facades going up, I almost see a belt and braces job. If there's something being constructed now, you're seeing fire barriers almost where they shouldn't be, like an excessive number of them. You're seeing non-combustible or less combustible materials being used on concrete where there's nothing to burn.
And we've not had that with the thermal, but interestingly, at home, I was we're insulating the house, and I was going to be using Kingspan to achieve the insulation, and actually all of a sudden I thought, I don't know whether I'm happy using it now, regardless of the losses that I'm going to be achieving with thermal performance, is if it does burn and I can't get out of the house. It's just an interesting difference.
Right, in, to the very start of the project, on the written documents before any drawings have even done, it's the performance criteria.
Yeah. But I think that this is a position we're in now, that we do recognise that we've lost sight of a bit of a fundamental priority. I'm going to bring things to a close. I think the questions have been very useful. I'd like to, if you could put your hands together for the presenter. Or can either come to Jenny or to the university. We'd love to hear any responses. We, needless to say, we probably are going to run some more courses on fire studies and fire performance. If anybody's interested in any postgrad or PhD studies, you want to do them in fire or anything else, we'd be interested in hearing from you. But thanks again. Thanks for turning up. We've got 2 hours worth of useful debate and instruction, but I think it's been a good session.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.